All right, everyone, it's 9 a.m. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the final day of Build. This is Slice, Dice, and Route Your SharePoint Content with Flow, Power Apps, and Azure Functions. My name is Kerem Yücetürk. I'm a program manager in the SharePoint team. And
hi, folks. Good morning. My name is Merwan Hadeh. I'm a senior program manager on the Microsoft Flow team.
And today, we will kind of talk to you through a number of interesting things. But first of all, we think you're here because your team has this big backlog of apps, business apps, and workflows that you want to automate, but you don't necessarily have enough time or money or manpower to implement them, and you're hoping that Power Apps and Flow will help you with those things. Or you're a developer and you really want to build a quick solution using these tools for your customer, that with using the data that lives inside Office 365 or in Dynamics 365 or in Azure.
Or you're here because this session has a catchy title.
We did not come up with it, but we embraced it and are using it.
That's really why we're here.
Yes. All right. So the agenda is we'll take a look at where Power Apps and Flow fit within Office 365 and Dynamics 365. Then we're going to jump into Power Apps and, you know, talk a little bit about what Power Apps does. And then we'll go through the steps of building a basic app that connects to our SharePoint data. Then we're going to jump into doing a quick introduction to Azure Functions and then start to use that Azure Function, use a sample Azure Function that we've developed for this inside our flows, the same way you could use it in your Power Apps. Then talk a little more about Flow and Logic Apps, see a more complicated, more fleshed out business app, and then finally close with plugging into the ecosystem and talk a little bit about the roadmap of what's coming ahead of us. All right, so let's take a look at what Power Apps and Flow do within Office 365 and Dynamics 365. So on the in the Office 365 front, and specifically mostly in the SharePoint front, we used to have this story where our business apps were being developed either by InfoPath for your forms and SharePoint Designer for your workflows, or using Access Web Apps. As you are probably aware, since you're in this room and you know, if you're familiar with SharePoint at all, you know that these tools have not been getting any investments in the past few years, and we haven't been putting out new versions of this. We have been, however, in the past year, investing heavily within the SharePoint team and the Power Apps and Flow teams to make SharePoint a first-class data, first-class citizen for Power Apps and Flow, so we can plug into this system for building your Power Apps. So our guidance to all of our customers and all of our partners going forward since Ignite conference last September has been Power Apps and Flow are the successors to InfoPath, Access Web Apps, and SharePoint Designer workflows. So you should start, if you're starting a new project, you should start with Power Apps and Flow. InfoPath, SharePoint Designer, those products are still supported. So if you have solutions working on those, it's not like they're going to stop working. But we really think the investments and the newer capabilities, the mobile-first cloud connectivity capabilities of Power Apps and Flow are going to surpass those older technologies in the coming months and years. And in some ways, they already do. All right. Let me talk a little more about the integration that SharePoint has been doing with Power Apps and Flow. We really wanted to make sure that these tools are very easily accessible to users in SharePoint. So what we've done is we've taken a modern lists UI in SharePoint and put a Power Apps and Flow integration buttons right there in the center. So users can immediately access these functions, and we try to make it as seamless as possible, the transitions between these services. As of this week, earlier this week, we fully ramped up our flight to have Flow available in SharePoint libraries as well. It had been around in first release since the end of March, and as of this week, it's available for any SharePoint modern document library. The message here is that the integration will just keep getting better and closer over the coming months and years. This is merely the beginning of that journey. We will keep adding more capabilities and more integration points between Power Apps and Flow over the coming months. We also made sure that Power Apps and Flow are available by default for all of the enterprise SKUs of Office 365. Similarly, on the Dynamics side, Dynamics 365, we see Power Apps and Flow there as well as the business app development platform across all of Microsoft, so Office 365 and Dynamics 365. So you can use Power Apps and Flow to extend the sales, field services, marketing, operations pieces of Dynamics 365. And similarly, they're also available by default for all of the Dynamics 365 SKUs, so you can just use those if you have Dynamics 365. All right, so let's take a quick look at what we are doing inside SharePoint. If we could switch over to my demo machine, and hopefully the demo gods are kind to me today. All right, so we're looking at a modern library here in my Four Canyon Energy group. And it looks a little small, so I'm going to make it a little bigger. Hopefully that doesn't mess up anything. So what we wanted to point out is the Flow button is right there in our libraries. And we've made it very easy to try to access these flows by allowing you to start with some simple templates. For example, something that our customers have always wanted is, you know, having grabbing email attachments and then moving them into a folder in your document library. We have a flow template that will help you do that. So, and it will start watching your inbox and then move things over to the library of your choice. It's this kind of automation that you can add to your flows. And we've also done something interesting. When you select an item and then you say create a flow, we show you different templates that are more suitable for selecting an item and taking an action on that item. For example, if I wanted to quickly send something to Wunderlist or add a card to Trello for something or do something custom, post to Yammer or anything that I want, I can just click on this template. Let's click on that get feedback from your team for the selected file one to see. What this does is it takes me over to the Flow site, signs me in automatically, tells me what connections it's going to use. So this is one of the big strengths of this platform, Flow and Power Apps. It allows you to connect to all of these different data sources in addition to SharePoint. So SharePoint is here, but my directory is here as well under Office 365 users, and it's also connecting to Outlook and Office 365. I say continue, and then here's a template that's basically grabbing my context, the document library that I was looking at inside SharePoint, and it's plugged into this template. All I really need to do is plug in the information to send the mail. Just to walk you through this, here's the request. I grab that item from SharePoint based on that request and the information that SharePoint passes along. And then I fetch my own profile from the directory. And here's the body of the email that I can use. So if I wanted, I could just say, let's grab this email address from my cheat sheet and plug that in here. And I could also, you can see that I have this little email editor that also supports HTML. So I could, for example, get rid of some of this content here and do something like, this is for project. And if I scroll down, this is one of the interesting things with Flow. The steps that I have above are represented here, and the outputs from those previous steps can be used in the subsequent steps in my Flow. So you can see this get my profile action has, you know, various outputs. But if I scroll a little further down, I see those document library columns. For example, the associated project was a column in my document library, and I can grab that project name and include it in my email. So by being able to access these metadata columns in my library, I can craft these emails for that specific item and use those things in various steps that we have in the flow. So let's say create a flow, and it will save it. And if I come back to my document library, see my associated project column here, this one is for Advanced Wind. And if I pull down my flow menu, It will take a second and then quickly find that there's a new flow there. And if I click on this, it is very easy to just start that flow. So that action now has been started. And if I go over to my group conversations, because I was emailing my group there, Outlook will load. And guess what? Here's that feedback request that just came in right now. And you can see that Advanced Wind, the project name is also plugged into that email alongside the link to the file. So you can just use that and be productive with it. It was just one click after that integration has been put in place. All right. Well, that's our integration with Flow and Document Library. So let's take a moment and turn around to a SharePoint list. So at Four Canyon Energy, we are into wind turbines and generating clean wind energy. And we are using a SharePoint list to look at various things like, you know, our maintenance operators, our on-call schedule, our turbines, and where they are. So this list has some information like the latitude and longitude, about the position of the turbine, what the last service date was, what the output capacity is, and whether or not service is required.
And in case you're wondering, this is actually inspired by a true life story. So we have a customer in Canada named TransAlta, and they actually use Power Apps and various other Azure services to basically track maintenance requests.
It's true. So let's assume that Four Canyon Energy wants to go ahead and create an app that their field personnel can use to go inspect their facilities, their turbines. So you can see the flow button is also available here, just like in document libraries. But here we also have the Power Apps button. And when I say create an app, it will ask me, you know, what that name should be. There are some terrible suggested names there. So I will say Turbine Inspector Build. Make sure I don't have any clashes from my prep time with the demo. So what's happening right now is, again, just like we saw with Flow, Power Apps is springing into action. We're taking my context in the SharePoint list that I was in, and it's basically passed along to Power Apps, and Power Apps just springs into action to start building an app. So this app will have a browse story, so I can see my list items. It will also have another screen for viewing items. It will also have another screen for editing the items. So right off the bat, I'm able to get to an app without any effort, and this is already saved in the Power App service, that allows me to take this and run this on iOS, Android, or Windows devices. All right. I'm going to come back to this, but let's take a moment to show you, get our bearings, and show you how it all fits together. If we can go back to the presentation for a second. I'll leave this and won't touch it, so you know there's no funny business going on. All right. So let's go to the, let's get our bearings. So we see the business applications in three primary categories. So we like to measure our data, we'd like to act on our data, and we'd like to automate our data so that things are just flowing and meeting your business goals. And for the power users in our companies and enterprises, so these are also referred to sometimes as citizen developers. These are the people who know the power tricks in PowerPoint or like who are very comfortable with Excel formulas. So Power BI is there for the measure part of it. Power Apps is there for quickly generating these apps and making those apps available to our company and our colleagues. And on the automate front, we have Microsoft Flow coming in with the workflow automation. Then these are also extended to IT professionals and developers where we have the Pro BI offering, the Pro Dev tools for basically building apps using Microsoft's Dev tools. And on the pro integration front, on the automation front, we have Logic Apps. And all of these are supported by our connectors and gateways. So you can connect to the Common Data Service in Dynamics 365, or you can connect to SharePoint, and you can connect to a wealth of other connections, 125 and counting today. And you can even connect to on-premises data sources, such as your SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2016 farm, or your SQL server on-premises. So all of this comes together and then gives you an ecosystem that is very robust to connect various sources of data and do all of these things using these three different tracks under Measure, Act, and Automate. All right. I'm going to go a little deeper into Power Apps. So Power Apps, the whole premise is it lets you build apps without writing code. It lets you use a visual designer that helps you see what you're going to get when you run that app. And it's kind of takes a lot of cues from PowerPoint, so it's easy to manipulate and drag and drop items around. But that's not all, because it can take advantage of device capabilities. When it's running on a device, it can use the camera, you can use the GPS, you can use the digital inking capabilities. Then you can use your business logic, as we will see in a second, using an Excel-like expression language. So you can write if statements, you can do things like conditional formatting, you can concatenate strings together to form, use your data in a way that makes sense for your custom app. And then, of course, you start with maybe a data source like SharePoint, but you can extend the capabilities by connecting to other sources, other sources of information, Microsoft and third-party sources, or your custom functions using Azure Functions, or your custom APIs and custom web services using the connector infrastructure.
In fact, an MVP once actually said that if Excel and PowerPoint were to have a baby, that baby would be Power Apps.
No comment on that. And then you can publish those apps instantly to your apps in Windows, iOS, and Android. And it also runs in the browser. So you can also render them in the browser on your desktop if that's what your scenario calls for. You don't need to go through an app store. The apps follow a sharing model similar to how any document in SharePoint or in OneDrive would follow. So I can share an app with an individual person or with my whole organization, and I can let individual others have rights to change that app and edit that app and then use it. All right, so let's come back to Power Apps. And if you remember, we were here. We had started our app. We could just push the button from SharePoint. So I'm going to do a couple of quick changes. So I was getting back my items, and they were being sorted by service requests. I'm just going to go ahead and change how I sort things by. So I sort by ID. Then I'm going to change the layout a little bit. I'm going to do something more visual because it demos better, honestly. So I'm going to use this image, title, subtitle, and body type of thing. So what I can do is, you see I have these little slots, and some of them are empty now because it kind of picked names randomly. What I can do is I can say, hey, take the title property from my list that I was looking at, and then plug that in here. So I have my turbine name right there. And then let's take our maximum output capacity and show that here. And look at this formula bar here. I can do things like this. So I can say capacity, and then I can just concatenate using an and. And I can do something like kilowatts. So just like that, I was able to add that thing in and have it render with the live data being pulled from my list and being displayed there. All right, let's move these items over a little bit. And then maybe give this a little more space. So notice when I change one item, it kind of changes my gallery and lets me add more interesting things. So I'm gonna, this is my image column here. So what it's looking for is something to plug into that image column. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna turn around to my cheat sheet again. And grab this URL that I prepared earlier during my demo prep. So this is actually going out to Bing Maps and grabbing a map from their API. You may remember that we had those latitude and longitude columns. What I'm doing is I'm going to just concatenate those in and use them here in that formula. And I'm also going to do something fancy, like I can check if the service is required on that item. I can show one type of icon, and otherwise I can show another type of icon. Let's see if it works. I copy this, come to my image, and let's paste that in. Wow, look at that. So immediately I was able to plug in those values into a map, get back the coordinates, get back the map rendering, and there's even some conditional formatting, like I mentioned. Some things are in blue, some things are in red. I can do that in a little more detail. So all of these items that you see on the screen have properties like color, disabled, border color, etc. So I can go to the color property, right, and has some boring RGBA value. We don't want that. So let's get rid of that and say if service required property. So this is a property from my data. This is one of my columns in my list. And then let's say is equal to yes. I want to show this as red. Otherwise, I'll just show it as black. And you can see the second one there just switched color to red because it's dynamically evaluating that data. It's live connected to my data. And all of it just came together and then started working to show my content. All right, you get the gist of it. I can kind of add all of my data in here, massage it, transform it using various conditions, et cetera. All right. Let's quickly take a look at another one of the screens here, because this is also interesting. So this is one of my other automatically generated screens for editing these items. This was just given to me, and now it's free for it's open for me to do whatever I want with it, so I can make it work with my business rules. So for example, what I can do is I can grab this set of cards that are just thrown here. And what I want to do is, for example, I can say, hey, this title property, I don't want it to be a text box. I don't want my inspectors to go and change the name of the turbine, right? Like, I want them to just know which turbine it is. So I'm going to make that read-only. So I can selectively control which properties I'm giving access to my app to write to. And then, maybe I don't need to show the longitude and latitude in the screen, so I'm just going to click on this icon, and then they disappear from the screen altogether. Let's do a couple more things, like let's take the output capacity, make that text value again, and then I can just grab and move things around. No problem. And if I'm in this screen, then maybe what I want is I want a default value for this. So every time I come in here, I can say something like, oh, you know what? Set the default to be yes, because I'm about to write an inspection report and say service is required here, for example. Then, whenever I come to the screen, it will be set to yes, so I don't have to type that in, or I could have used a little slider to change the status as well. All right, so this, in a nutshell, is my app. Oh, let's do one more thing. I'm going to change my notes and use maybe like a multi-line text, so it's more appropriate for typing in notes and supports doing that. I could have done other things, if we had more time, like, being able to take some photos and then maybe upload them somewhere and then refer to those in my list as well. All right, so that, in a nutshell, is my app, and we will see this working, hopefully, soon. But first, let's go back to our presentation and talk a little bit about how we could extend this further using Azure Functions. So far we've done nothing, right, that had code. All we did was we were able to take something in SharePoint, take things using Excel-like formulas and concatenate them together, use some conditional formatting. But now, as we're at build and all of you are in this room, you're likely your way around the C# compiler. So what you want to do is you want to crunch some numbers. You want to maybe quickly calculate something and get some data available as a service to your apps, to your other line of business solutions. And Azure Functions give you a great way to get that done. First off, they're truly serverless. So you don't really need to worry about getting a server, setting it up. And in this day and age, I guess everybody just gets their servers from the cloud anyway. But you don't even have to do stand up a VM and then install a bunch of things on it and then do maintenance on it. You don't even have to set up a web application and then run that and maintain that. All you need to do is create a function, and it will just run in the cloud and be made available to you as a service. You define your authentication mechanism if you'd like, and then it will scale up as there's more demand. So if a lot of apps are around and calling your function, you don't need to worry about whether your VM scale up or down. And then if there's no request, it will scale all the way back down and then go to sleep and then just be ready to load in memory when a request comes in. And because you're being charged by the sub-second, you're only paying fractions of a dollar for every request. So you're only paying for that CPU time that you're spending in that function. So it's very effective for building something quickly and then just deploying it out there, and you don't have to worry about paying for that VM that is being utilized maybe once or twice a day. You can also go ahead and use various languages to develop your functions. You can use Node.js, C#, or F#. You can do things like local development and then push to your service in the cloud and connect to all of these services through that experiment. So what we're going to do now, we want to create a new... as I was talking to you here, Marwan was busily typing there and creating an Azure function. And he's going to show you what that Azure function looks like and how you can plug it into the connector infrastructure so you can use it in your Power Apps and in your flows.
Thanks, Karim. So what we showed in the application that Karim built is that basically you have your agents that are going out looking at turbines, and once they select a specific turbine, they decide whether it needs service or not. So what I now want to do is I want to build an Azure function that helps me determine whether it's cost-effective to send out a technician. Now, turbines are expensive, so I have to do a cost-benefit analysis and see what is the revenue opportunity cost versus the cost of sending out a technician. So what I've done here in the Azure portal, I've created a simple C# Azure function. What it does is it checks the cost-effectiveness of a given repair, and it takes in from a user the number of the hours required in terms of effort, as well as the capacity of a given turbine. Based on that, it calculates a revenue opportunity and a cost to fix. So the revenue opportunity is capacity times revenue times 24, and cost to fix is hours times technician cost plus turbine cost. So we are turbine experts, and we came up with this formula after years of research. but in any case...
I hope there's no one for here from the energy sector. All right.
So in any case, depending on whether the revenue opportunity, if the revenue opportunity is greater than the cost, we'll return back an appropriate message saying yes, send out a technician. We'll also include both the revenue opportunity and the cost. Similarly, if it turns out that the revenue opportunity is less than the cost, then we'll send out an appropriate message saying no, there's no need to send out a technician, we can wait. Now, the idea here is, with this Azure function, once I've built it, I can test it, and then I can expose it as a custom connector to my Power Apps and Flow users. Now, my Power Apps and Flow users, as Karim mentioned earlier, are typically my business users or business analysts. They're not necessarily somebody who's used to calling an API or passing in parameters and that sort of thing. So you want to make the consumption of a web API as easy as possible. So what we'll see in a second year is, how do I test this as a professional developer? How do I import it as a custom connector so that my end users can then consume it? So in this case, I have this API here. I'll go ahead and click Run. And the Azure Functions UI actually allows me to type in and my input parameters. I can specify hours and capacity. And it also gives me back a sample output. So in this case, if a particular turbine takes 6 hours to repair and its capacity is 5,000 kilowatts, the revenue opportunity would be $14,400, and the cost to fix is hidden there somewhere. $1,600. Okay, so what we'll now do is we'll switch to Microsoft Flow, and we'll build a custom connector and connect it to our Azure function. So this is the Flow website, flow.microsoft.com, and we'll take a deep look at what Flow does in the next section. But here, let's go ahead and create a new custom connector. So I'll go ahead and click Create Custom Connector. Now, to create your connector, there's three ways. You can either upload a Swagger file, which just describes your API, or you can point to a Swagger endpoint, or you can also upload a Postman collection. To make things easier, I have a very basic Swagger file here. It just describes it describes a title for my API, the endpoint, as well as a description. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and upload this Swagger file into the custom connector tooling in Flow, and then we'll model the custom connector so that it can connect to our Azure function. Let's go ahead and upload this here. So as you can see, it pulls in a description, also pulls in the host. I can upload an icon if I want. So let me go ahead and click Continue. The next thing I get to do is I get to decide the authentication type. Now, we have three options here. We can either have basic auth, so I have a username and password. We can either have an API key, or we also support OAuth too. So if you want to support things like AD or Twitter login, Facebook login, Gmail, et cetera, you can do that as well. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to define the actions and triggers so that the Azure function that I'm connecting to is consumable in Power Apps and Flow. So let me go ahead and click New Action. And I'll get a summary description and operation ID from the Azure function that I created. So what this does here is it defines a new operation which will show up in both Power Apps and Flow with a summary and a description as I've described here. I also get to determine the visibility of this particular operation. So I can set it to be important so that it bubbles to the top. I can set it to be internal so that it's hidden. And I can also hide it behind a See More menu. So let me go ahead and click Important. The next thing I want to do is I want to import a sample request and a sample response so that I can connect and model the API. So in this case, let me go ahead and click import from sample. It's the get operation. Again, I'll turn to my Azure function, just get the function URL. And we'll model it a little bit just to make it a little friendlier. Go ahead and import that. Now, as you can see, it detects that I have two input parameters, hours and capacity. Now, if I want, I can go in and manipulate the hours and capacity further and add in a description as well as a summary. This is the amount of effort in hours to fix a turbine. And we'll keep the summary as the same. And I can also define what the data type is. Is it a string? Is it an integer? Et cetera. So in this case, this is an integer, so I can define it as such. Now I can do the same also for my response. So in this case, I'll just go ahead and select this response. And again, I can import from sample. So I'll go back to my Azure function, and I'll just copy my output. And as soon as I do that, again, it detects that this particular function or this particular web API returns back three outputs, a message, the revenue opportunity, and the cost to fix. Now, if I want, I can go in and change the display name, add a description, just like I did for my request as well.
These descriptions and various pieces are important because once you expose this as a connector, then your end users, those power users that we were talking about that are your users of Power Apps and Flow, they will get to see that. So it's kind of your documentation as they're using and building their apps. So this custom API, you're just making it very friendly for them to use so that they can just use those parameters and know what they mean.
Yeah, and just to add to that, so now that we've added our request parameters and our response parameters, as a end user, as a consumer of this API, I don't really have to know the nitty-gritties of what this API does. To me, all I'm doing is I'm typing in an hours, I'm typing in a capacity, and I'm using those outputs that get returned back from this API. And we'll see what that looks like in Flow in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's take a deeper look at what Flow does and what are the different scenarios that you can enable using Flow. So the idea behind Flow is that we're trying to empower non-developers to work more efficiently and smarter by automating workflows across apps and services. Now, using Flow, you can target a variety of scenarios, one of which is getting notifications. So for example, if you get an email from your manager, you can send a push notification instantly to your phone. Or for example, you get a high importance email, you can forward it again as a notification or as a text message to your mobile device. You can also use Flow to copy files. So for example, imagine that something gets added to, let's say, OneDrive, let's say your pictures. You can instantly copy those images from OneDrive to a folder in, let's say, SharePoint or OneDrive for Business without necessarily having to write any code whatsoever. You can also use Flow to collect data. So for example, let's imagine that you want to know what's trending. Let's say, what are people saying about Build? You can build a Flow that gets tweets from Twitter, run sentiment analysis using Microsoft's language analysis services, detects a sentiment, and puts it into a SQL database, which you can then connect to a Power BI report or a Power BI dashboard and spot trends. Are people saying good things, bad things? What sort of things are they saying about the conference or about your business? Similarly, you could also connect it to other services like Discuss or Lithium or User Voice. If you wanted to get a sense of what people are saying, you can capture their comments and share it with the rest of your team. And lastly, Flow can also be used to automate approvals. Some of you might be aware, but we recently released a modern approvals experience, wherein as an approver or as an initiator, you can select a particular document in SharePoint, for instance, and send it for approval. And as a manager, you can see details about that document. You can click on it if you want. You can explore it. And you can give your feedback, which can then be bubbled back to the person that requested that feedback, letting them know that the document's been approved. So what makes up a flow? Now, there's two key ingredients to any flow. The first one is a trigger. This is the event that kicks off your flow. Now, there's three types of triggers. One, the flow could be manually invoked, so it could be at the press of a button. Two, it could be run on a schedule, so every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, etc. Or, and this is the most common case, it could be an event in the cloud. So in this case, for example, what I'm doing is when a new lead is added to Dynamics 365, I'm sending an email. Now, sending an email is what we call an action. So it's what happens when the trigger condition is met. So in this case, I'm sending details about that lead to the owner of that lead, and I'm also typing in a subject like follow up on the lead, and in the email body, I'm making a reference to content that is included in that lead, right? So in this case, I'm including things like topic, last name. If you think about SharePoint, it would be the columns in SharePoint. If you think about something like Twitter, it would be the actual tweet content. Now, Flow is built on top of connectors, right? That's really the magic behind Flow. Today, we have over 125 out-of-the-box connectors, and we're rolling out connectors every week. Not only can you connect to these publicly available connectors, which span enterprise ones like SharePoint, Dynamics CRM, Salesforce, to more consumer-y ones like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, OneDrive, etc. You can also build in your own custom connectors, as we will see, and you can also connect to on-premises data using data gateways. Now, to help business users get started, we have a gallery of hundreds and hundreds of templates. Each of our service has various templates. Now, the idea behind a template is that it's pretty much a fully baked flow. All you need to do is come in, give your credentials, tell us, for example, which folder to point to, which entity, et cetera, and your flow is ready to go. So what's different about Flow? So unlike some of our competitors, who shall not be named, the difference is that we can automate advanced scenarios with things like multiple steps, with branching conditions, with scheduling, with looping, and much more. And we'll see some of this in the demo that we showed today. So let's recap on where we are with our demo. So far, what Karem showed was we had a SharePoint list. We built a Power Apps that connected to that SharePoint list. And in that Power App, we were looking at a series of turbines, and we were seeing if a particular turbine needed service or not. So what we now want to do is we want to build a flow that watches for new service requests. And once a new service request is received, it will call our Azure function, check for the cost effectiveness, and if it is indeed cost effective, kick off an approval workflow. Now, if a manager approves, then we'll find out who's on call, which is, again, another SharePoint list, and then we'll send a text message to that engineer letting them know that they need to go out and fix a machine. All right, so let's see that in action.
Good luck.
Okay, so I have a flow here. I'll just explain what it does. So in this case, we're connecting to the Four Canyon Energy SharePoint site, which Karem showed earlier. And we're connecting to a specific list on that site called turbines. We then have what's known as a condition. Now, flow supports both conditions as well as switch case statements. So if you have multiple things being returned, you can use a switch case as well. So in this case, I'm using a condition. If the service required is equal to yes, which means that a turbine needs repair, I'm going to make a call to my Azure function, which is now exposed as a custom connector here. So here, remember how earlier I typed in something called check cost effectiveness? So that gets bubbled up here. It also includes a nice image. And if I click on the information here, it includes a description that I typed in. So everything that I'd set up for my custom connector related to my Azure function now shows up as an action in flow. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to check the cost effectiveness. I'm going to pass in the hours and the capacity. So Karem alluded to this earlier, but with flow, you get a reference to the trigger that you're connecting to, as well as the actions. So in this case, I'm seeing all the fields that are on my SharePoint list. So I see estimated service effort, I see the latitude, longitude, et cetera. Now, because I define my hours and my capacity as numbers in my Swagger metadata, the outputs that I see here are filtered to just show numbers. So in this case, I'll type in hours. I'll also say the max capacity of that turbine. I then have another condition. So this is a nested condition, wherein if the message, and this is the message that's returned back from my Azure function, it returns a yes or a no. If that is equal to yes, which means that it is actually cost-effective to send out a technician, I'm going to start an approval process. Now, approvals is actually a new action that we just launched a few weeks ago. The idea is that you can type in a custom title, assign it to a specific individual, provide in details, a link description, and all of this shows up in a unified place called the Approval Center, and we'll see what that looks like. But all of this shows up in a unified place where you can see all your approvals, not just in SharePoint, not just in a particular site, but across all your services. In SharePoint, Dynamics CRM, if you have a Twitter-based approval, et cetera, all of that will start to show up in this single place called the Approval Center. And the Approval Center is available also on your phone, and we'll see that also in a few minutes. And actually, coming soon, you'll also be able to do an approval directly from your email using Outlook's Actionable Messages platform. So stay tuned for that. So in this case, what I'm doing is I'm starting an approval, assigning it to myself. I'm saying this particular turbine title needs repair. The revenue opportunity is passed in from my Azure function, as is the cost to fix. I then have another condition, a third condition, which says if the approver approves, then I want to get the engineer that's on call, the technician that's on call, send them a text message to go out and fix that particular turbine. Now, what I'm doing here is using filters on the SharePoint action, I can hone in on the specific item that I want in that SharePoint list. So in this case, I'm saying, get me the person that's on call in the week on this week. And here, using the compose action, I can actually see, I can get today's date. And then here, to send a text message, I'm using a connector called Twilio. So I have an account with Twilio. I have a phone number set up here. I'm going to set it to the operator, and I'm also going to include a text message which says, hey, this particular turbine needs your attention. Here's the location. It has a longitude and a latitude. And here's what the supervisor is telling you. Maybe the supervisor says, prioritize this over other things. Or maybe the supervisor says, hey, you can get to this tomorrow morning. The opportunity cost isn't so high. So let's go ahead and update this flow so we can start debugging it.
You think it's going to work? It's a lot of moving pieces.
I think it'll work.
All right, let's see.
All right, let's do it.
Do you want to switch to my screen? All right, so now we're going to put it all together. Remember the app? Now it's running on my Android phone using the Power Apps player. I didn't need to install it. Because I have Power Apps, it is there available for me, and I can launch it right there. This is the app that we just built earlier, where you remember the conditional formatting that we added. So let's say I'm an inspector and looking around, looking at my turbines. I think turbine one is in need of some repairs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in here and edit this item. My little inspection page is available here. Let's say it costs, I think it will cost like 7 hours to fix this. And then it's a bummer is what went wrong. All right, I will update that item. Now this app is talking back to SharePoint and updating my list item in my SharePoint list. And what that will do, in effect, is kick off our flow. And that flow should spring into action and go through all of those steps that Marwan showed you just earlier. And if I pull down my notifications, guess what? I have an approval request because I have the Flow app installed on my phone. So it was able to send me an approval request saying that there's a turbine repair needed. Let me open that. And you can see this is the approval step that was sent from that Flow step and says turbine one needs repair, revenue opportunity is this much, cost to fix is this much. All of that information coming from my Azure function is plugged into this, and I can approve or reject using the buttons below directly from my phone. So if I say approve, I can optionally add a comment, say, let's fix this, and then I can confirm, and now this request has been approved. Does it look good on your side?
And look at that, I just got a text message. What? Turbine one needs my attention. There's the latitude and longitude, and supervisor is telling me to go and fix this. And just to recap this flow, you can actually see, because we were in debug mode, you can actually see what happened in this flow. So you can actually see how long each step took, as well as the inputs and outputs as each of these steps executed. So I can see the inputs, I can see the outputs. Here, if I scroll down further, I can see the revenue opportunity and cost to fix as well.
Yeah, this debugger makes it a lot easier to understand what happened, because all of these steps, you know, when everything works smoothly, great. But in some of these steps, you know, you find out that some value is not what you expected, and you need to tweak your formula a little bit maybe to make sure that you're getting the right results at the other end. So this is a great tool to make that happen.
Okay, so now we're going to switch back to Flow, and we'll take a deeper look at a few things in Flow, like how do you grow from Flow to a logic app? But before we do that, oops, wrong
Let's
display.
Do the...
I think the surface. There we go. So before we do that, just to quickly recap what we've shown you so far. So we had a SharePoint list that had a set of turbines. We built a power app on top of it that allowed agents to report whether something needed service or not. We then built a flow which detected these changes in a SharePoint list. It called an Azure function to check whether it was cost-effective to send out a technician for repair. If it was indeed cost-effective, it started an approval process. And if the approver acknowledged that this actually did need repair, it then found out who's on call and sent that on-call engineer a text message alerting them about which turbine to repair, where it's located, and any comments that the supervisor may have had. Now, many of you might be wondering what powers Flow and how is it different than logic apps? So Flow is built on top of logic apps. We use the same public APIs and standard runtime. We even use the same workflow designer and editor as logic apps. In fact, we work very closely together. The logic apps can do everything that Flow can do. However, Flow has been customized to make it suitable for business users. So we have additional experiences like a modern approvals experience, data loss prevention policies. We have this custom connectors experience that I showed you. Soon we'll have an ALM story as well. All of it geared towards business users and empowering these business users and business analysts to create workflows. So when do you use Flow and when do you use logic apps? One simple rule of thumb is if you're working in Visual Studio or if you're an Azure developer or you're used to using source control, then use BizTalk and logic apps. However, if you're more of an Office user, someone who's primarily working in Excel, Access, and SharePoint, then Flow is the way to go. Okay, so how do I go from Flow to logic apps? So Flow is great for simple integrations and empowering users to do a specific task without necessarily having to go to IT. So whatever I showed you today, I didn't necessarily have to turn to IT, right? Someone, and a person in IT or a professional developer built an Azure function for me, exposed it to me as a custom connector, and as an end user, as a business user, I could just connect to it and get the data that I want. However, sometimes you do need IT and devs to take over when the Flow gets too complicated or if it becomes business critical and you want to have source control around it. So that's when you would turn to logic apps. And in fact, later this year, we'll have a one-click process to take a Flow and migrate it into a logic app. In the meanwhile, you can actually call a logic app or a Flow from each other. The way you do that is we have this idea of this trigger called the request trigger. Here it says use a button or link in PowerApps to trigger an action. It's now called the request trigger, which gives a specific endpoint. In your Flow or in your logic app, you can call an HTTP action that makes a post to that endpoint. So you can call a Flow from within a logic app, or you can call a logic app from within a Flow. Okay, so let's talk about how you can plug into the ecosystem. So far what we've shown you is how you can build a Power App, how you can build an Azure function, how you can build a Microsoft Flow as well. Now let's look at how do you, as a professional developer, plug into this ecosystem that we like to call the business application platform. So the first and foremost thing you can do is build your own connector. So connectors are really just wrappers around a web API, similar to what I showed in my Azure function. It's just a way to connect to RESTful services. And these connectors are available in Microsoft Flow, in Power Apps, as well as in Logic Apps. As I mentioned earlier, we have over 125 connectors that are publicly available today, and it's something that we continue to grow on a week-by-week basis. So why should you build a connector? What's really the benefit to you of building a connector? Well, so first and foremost, it's a way to simplify automation for your users in your company. They don't necessarily have to learn how to write code. They don't have to learn a new language, et cetera. Everything is pretty much just done for them. Also, it allows you to expand the number of services that you integrate with. So you don't have to now build an integration to send out text messages or to connect to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or GitHub, et cetera. All of that is automatically done for you by virtue of using this platform. And lastly, it's a way for you to increase adoption. By being in this marketplace of apps and services, you instantly get access to all these customers that are using Flow, Power Apps, and Logic Apps. And in fact, because of our integration with Office and our integration with Dynamics CRM, you also get exposure to customers that are just using those services. Okay, so how do you build a connector? So we actually showed you the first step of building a connector today, which is developing a custom API. So you bring in your web API. It could be an Azure function, could be a simple ASP.NET web API. You import it as a custom connector. You validate that it works in both Power Apps, Flow, and Logic Apps. And then you submit it for certification. And here we have a link, aka.ms/API connector. So if you want to learn more about how you can register your API and submit it for publication, please visit that site. In terms of requirements, we only have two simple requirements: have a REST API and make sure that it uses one of the supported authentication types. Another way that you can plug into the ecosystem is by embedding Flow. So we have a Flow SDK that allows you to host an iframe inside your web, inside your application. So in this case, you can log the user in, you can show them specific flows that are connected to your service, you can show them specific templates, you can also show them custom inputs when they invoke a particular flow. So if you want to ask them, for example, who they're sending an email to, like a to message, et cetera, you can do that using the Flow embedded SDK. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about roadmap. So as you might be aware, Flow has been generally available since November. It's available in 6 regions and in 42 languages. Since then, we've been heads down crunching out a variety of features. We added support for environments so that you can segregate your data as you so need by region or by function. We also added an admin center where you can set up data flow policies to ensure the data is being used securely, where you can also look at resources that have been created in your organization, and you can delete them or add yourself as a co-owner, et cetera. Speaking of co-owners, we also added the ability to collaborate on flows. So I can create a flow, and if I need help from Karam, I can share it with him so that he can also make changes to that same flow. Recently, we also added our modern approvals integration so that you can capture what an approver is saying, you can notify them on the web, you can have a single place where they can see all of their approvals. We also just released this week, actually a couple of days ago, an integration in SharePoint document libraries with KaremShowed, wherein you can select a particular file or a particular item and send it for approval, send it for feedback, post it to Yammer, et cetera. And later this quarter, we'll also be having an integration with Power BI. A little later this year, we'll have a solution packaging and ELM story. We'll also be in the context of SharePoint and Dynamics. We'll be enhancing our SharePoint integration. And finally, we'll also have better support for professional developers. So that means we'll have a one-click migration from a Flow to a Logic Apps. We'll also have a way for you to write functions directly in your Flow. So I'm going to hand it over to Karem to talk about the Power Apps.
Sure. And on the Power Apps, I know we're running low on time, and let's take a couple more questions at least. The Power Apps team is laser focused on getting the performance of the app. So they're snappier, they're faster, they launch quickly, and that will keep improving over the coming months. We're doing a lot of great things with SharePoint. I would refer you to the SharePoint Virtual Summit event next Tuesday. There will be a lot of great announcements there. I have a slide on that just coming up. Building declarative apps using CDS, extensibility for pro developers, and enabling the enterprise-wide app stories with packaging the apps, packaging it with flows and SharePoint sites, and all of those things are coming down the pipeline over the coming months and next year. All right. I will leave you with don't miss the SharePoint Virtual Summit. That's happening on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can register online, and it will be a webcast event where we will talk a lot about the future of SharePoint, but also a lot about how to build business apps using Power Apps and Flow inside SharePoint. And we want you to go and try this. Start building an app today. Add a flow to your SharePoint list and libraries today. Check out some of our other sessions. There's one starting at 10:30, and you can go back and watch the videos for some of the earlier ones. And here are some resources that you can check out as well, where you can go online and check those out. Last, please fill out an evaluation form and give us fives or fours or whatever the highest score is.
If you like the session, give us a five. If you didn't like the session, still give us a five. We'll take five.
And we will read every comment that you make. So we try to improve ourselves. You know, so we try to make these things useful for you, worth your time. So please give us feedback, and we will take it into consideration for the next presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please use the mic. I know we have 45 seconds, but we can hang around here after and answer questions, please.
One quick question. I don't see any solution for reporting in the apps. How do you guys plan on covering, like, say you want to know the technician's time that they spent, like the success, or how many of those jobs you guys as the turbine were successful or unsuccessful?
Right. So that would be something that you would automate using Power BI. So we concentrated mostly on the flow and Power Apps part of it. But if you remember the three pillars where
right.
we had the measure, so that's the thing where you would go and put your data into a Power BI friendly data source like a SharePoint list or SQL database, and then you'd be able to pull that data and then start to show those items. And in Power right. Apps, now there's a capability where you can grab a Power BI report or dashboard and stick it into your Power Apps as well. So, you know. It's coming. I'm getting cues from Frank here in the front row. Thank you. Thank you.
I saw you guys put on the compared to the old technology, the designer and things. What's the major difference? And you know, what's you know going forward for the on-premise deployments?
Right. So. The InfoPath and SharePoint Designer, all of those are technologies that we basically started back in the on-premises era, right? And they didn't really keep up with the mobile development, so they're not mobile first, and they're not really connected to all of these various services. So we think those two are the major advantages of this platform. It allows you to connect to all of these services, and it lets you be mobile first. So, you know, the app that I created was running on my phone without me needing to do anything.
Yeah.
So those capabilities are the major advantages, and we will keep investing in those areas so that anything that you could do with the designer or with InfoPath, those are changes that are going to be coming to Flow and Power Apps. So we would recommend that you start building your future solutions using Power Apps and Flow rather than the designer.
And just to add to that, I think the other differentiator is also the ease of use. With Flow, our emphasis is really on the business user and as opposed to somebody in IT necessarily. So something that in SharePoint Designer would maybe take you 25 to 30 clicks, in Flow you can do it within three or four different clicks. And really the idea is that your end users are now empowered to create this workflow without necessarily having someone in IT involved. So really, that ease of use is a big differentiator as well.
So for on-premises, we are working on, so through the gateway, you can connect to this, to your existing data sources, SharePoint 2016, SharePoint 2013, SQL. You can already connect to those using Flow. So it will be a hybrid story where that model will continue to happen, and the future releases of SharePoint on-premises will also have features that will let you leverage those things, just like SharePoint Online does today.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Are there any plans to integrate Graph?
Graph integration should be there already available, because Graph, the question was... Right. I hear you on the easier part. I think we can we agree that we can do more to make it easier to connect to Graph, and I think the team definitely has plans around that. Please.
So, is security tied to the list permission or?
It is. Or so, Flow or Power Apps, they don't let you do anything that you're not already allowed to do inside SharePoint. So, when you're connecting, you're always connecting in the context of your own user. So, when you're running that app. If you didn't have permission for some of the items in the list, you wouldn't be seeing those in the app. Because the request to SharePoint is just a REST call using your own user object. Now, inside Flow, there's the same is true. But inside Flow, there's a different interesting story where sometimes you do want to run as the administrator, for example, right, in a controlled manner.
Right.
So Flow will let you like sign in as a different user for a specific action. Mm-hmm. So you know your user may push a button inside a SharePoint, and then it will elevate itself and you know run as, for example, like an admin or a more privileged account, write something to a list in a controlled manner, and then come back and maybe send an email as your account again. So there's those transitions, but it doesn't let you do anything that you couldn't already do.
All right, thanks.
All right, we'll be here if you want to come up close and do some questions, but we'll wrap up the recording here. Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.